The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate Trinity Sunday. It's our name day. It's important for us to celebrate it because we remember that it is in the name of the Trinity that we have been founded. And we celebrate it with all of those churches across this nation and around the world who also share in the name Trinity. This is also an important day for me because it was 9 years ago on Trinity Sunday that I was instituted as your rector. And I remember that with great fondness. And one of the things I recall was how delighted I was that the senior minister from First Parish could sing with us that opening hymn, you know, St. Patrick's Breastplate, about the Trinity. He was very generous in coming that morning because he was leaving his own congregation, of course, to be here. But to me, it was a sign of the generosity of this community and the strong feeling of community in Concord and the towns that surround us. I probably shouldn't tell you that this morning the choir sang a resounding version of "God Save the Queen." This is one of the reasons that they probably didn't want an Episcopal church in Concord. But we do celebrate this great day, Trinity Sunday, and give thanks for what God has given to us as a congregation. When I was first ordained a priest, on Trinity Sunday, I would often talk about the doctrine of the Trinity. And finally, I figured out that at least half of the congregation were asleep by the end of the dissertation. So I'm not going to talk about that doctrine this morning. But rather, I would prefer to focus on the gospel lesson, which we have had, I think this may be the third time this year, in year B, that we've had this lesson. But it's so rich and contains so much for us. I would like to unpack it, especially as it relates to our relationship to God in Christ. This is a story about a well-to-do Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus well-educated, well-placed, a person with power in Israel. And he comes to Jesus at night, and probably comes at night so that he's not identified with Jesus' followers. Kierkegaard has said that Nicodemus was probably an admirer of Jesus at this point. But I will say that Nicodemus really is one of my biblical heroes, and I'll explain why later. But he does, at this time, in this first introduction we have to him, we find him coming to Jesus at night to inquire about him. He first acknowledges that Jesus is a rabbi. Now, everybody who knew Jesus knew that he came from a backwater town, probably was not particularly well educated, but he had wisdom. And Nicodemus acknowledges that in calling him a rabbi. And then he also says that he is a teacher from God, because otherwise he could not have done all the things that he has done if he had not been from God. And then Jesus says to him, not acknowledging any of the compliments, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above or being born again." The Greek in that place can be interpreted either way, born from above or born again. And Nicodemus seems to understand it with that second interpretation. So he asks, how is it possible for someone who is old to go back into their mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replies, "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." And then he repeats, "One must be born from above." And then Jesus goes on and he talks about the Spirit of God. "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." For most of us, I think this passage raises that hot point question, were you born again? When I was in college, I had a friend who at some point during our college career had a born-again experience. And after that happened to him, it seemed that everyone around him should have that same experience. And he especially focused on those of us, the heathen, who were out of the mainline denominations. He wondered what it was we really believed. And I actually took him through the prayer book and showed him, you know, this is what we believe about Jesus and God and Christ. And he just thought that we were still heathen and we had not had that born again experience, so we could not really be Christians. And I think many of us have experienced that and been offended by it. I had grown up in a very pious, religious Methodist home. My grandmother was a pietistic Methodist. She read the Bible daily. We prayed at all the meals. I was surrounded by religion from the time I was a child, but not just religion, the Christian faith lived out in daily life. And here this person was challenging me as to whether or not I was really a Christian. I had a priest friend who spent, at this time, he had probably spent 20-some years in ministry. And one day he commented to me that he was frustrated by those who would challenge the depth of his Christianity. He said, "I've given my entire adult life to proclaiming the gospel and helping others live the gospel. And yet some would assume that I'm somehow a lesser Christian." I think that it's important for all of us to recognize that our spiritual journeys are unique. No two are alike. Each of you who are here this morning are on a spiritual journey. And that spiritual journey has taken you down many, many paths. It is the Holy Spirit that has come to us in so many different ways, and sometimes leading us into places where we're allowed to doubt and ask questions. And sometimes the Spirit leads us into places where we receive answers, where we receive reassurance. But every one of us has a unique journey. Now, it was Nicodemus who was so faithful to the law. This was a Pharisee, a person who cared about every bit of the law, believing if you could fulfill the law, if you could live the law faithfully every day, you were living faithfully to God. And in that way, one might be righteous. Well, Jesus essentially is saying, if it was possible for anyone to enter the kingdom of heaven by living the law, then Nicodemus, you would be in the kingdom of heaven. But he said to him, no, you must be born from above. There's another law, a law that is written on the heart, that comes when the Spirit encounters us and amazes us and draws us into places we would never imagine that we would go. So it is about a relationship with a living God, not about keeping particular laws. It's about a relationship with God in Christ that takes us out of the places where we're comfortable and leads us into places where we make a difference in the world around us. It's the Spirit moving us to be people of faith, guiding us into a life of prayer, guiding us into a life where we can care for one another. I said that Nicodemus was one of my heroes, and the reason for that is because I think I see in him hope for myself and hope for others that I know who are on this spiritual path. He starts out as an admirer of Jesus, but we know that later he must have become much more of a disciple, because we see Nicodemus standing up for Jesus in the Sanhedrin as Jesus is brought before them for trial. His argument obviously didn't hold the day, and eventually, of course, Jesus was crucified. But then there is Nicodemus standing at the foot of the cross with the two Marys, with John, and with Joseph of Arimathea. And he helps take down Jesus' body from the cross and prepare it for burial. Here, this man who came from an influential Jewish family, perhaps, one who had power, money, and influence, who was willing to stand with the condemned, willing to stand with the crucified Christ, willing to carry him to his burial. I hope we can honor Nicodemus this day as we give thanks for Trinity as well, and as we give thanks that the preacher did not preach about the doctrine of the Trinity. May we be truly blessed as a congregation, and may we give thanks for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Amen.